listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Much sums it up. Awkward. Children said it at the children's talk. Thinking about foot washing. Ever done it? Awkward. Reading this text at the beginning of Lent. Isn't this a Maundy Thursday story that we're reading today? What is going on? Awkward. Singing together, up close, looking at each other without words, without a red hymnal in front of us. Awkward, considering anyone who betrays Jesus, like Judas, a devil. Those are the words that were read. I've certainly betrayed Jesus before. Awkward, talking about and focusing so much on love. Love outpouring. Awkward. So let's undress this awkward fest a little bit. See what I did there? Awkward. This is one of the great gifts of the narrative lectionary. This going through books of the Bible, whole books at a time, reading straight through the Gospel of John. I don't think we would have picked this up. It's hard. We didn't skip over chapters and chapters and land randomly on this Maundy Thursday text, which is usually read during Holy Week. This is only chapter 13 in John's Gospel. We're just picking up the next chapter from where we left off last week, which was the raising of Lazarus. This next chapter, chapter 13, is the foot washing. The entire second part of John's Gospel is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the days that follow. It's just a couple days. We've stretched out 3 years up to this point. In the seven signs, the book of signs is the first part of John's Gospel. And now we begin the second part, which is all the passion, death, and resurrection. And the next five chapters, I counted them twice. The next five chapters are all Jesus talking at the table at the Last Supper. It starts with this activity of the foot washing and then five chapters long of Jesus sermonating on his disciples. It's a little bit awkward in this year of John, but I would encourage you to bask in it. We're really going to be, it's going to feel like we're in Maundy Thursday every Sunday through Lent. It's one big long Maundy Thursday. The Gospel of John is very different. All the way through this spring, we'll be at the table with Jesus. It's a little bit awkward. It's also not the Passover meal that Jesus is gathering. The Passover, John's Gospel says, happens the next day. Good Friday. That's when the lamb is lifted up. That's when the lamb is sacrificed. So it's awkward. It's really strange. So this whole long sermon of five chapters begins with our text for today. In typical John's Gospel style, it begins with an action, and then there's a long explanation of that action. We've seen that over and over. It begins with an image to just set our minds on. It begins with a symbol to work with. And today, this symbol is this powerful symbol of the teacher washing the student's feet. Soak that in. Let that soak in a little bit. a teacher washing a student's feet. Actually, all the students. Just by a show of hands, how many of you here have ever had your feet washed on a Maundy Thursday service when we gather together? And then by a show of hands, how many of you have never had that opportunity to have your feet washed? How many of you have been to the services but refused to let anyone wash your feet? Thank you for your honesty. No way, right? Because why? Awkward. It's so awkward. I hate it. I do it because I'm the pastor and I'm talking about doing it. I hate it. I don't want you to wash my feet. I don't want you to touch my feet. I certainly don't want you to smell my feet when you have to do that horrible task. I hate it, and yet I have always encouraged us to do it in my time here with you. And I do that specifically because it's awkward. Jesus told us to do it. It'd be a question. I mean, let's just be honest. Maybe it'd be a question for the call committee for the next pastor. Are you going to make us wash each other's feet? It's actually a really profound question. Are you going to make us wash each other's feet? I never want it to be a production up front for you all to watch either your pastor, your council members, your leadership wash people's feet, and you just get to sit back. What Jesus told us, and as I was taught about the Maundy Thursday ritual, we wash each other's feet. Jesus washes our feet, and so then we turn and wash each other's feet. And it's funny to think about this over the years here, because what's happened here is it's turned into couples night, where, you know, Heather washes my feet, and then I turn around and wash her feet, and it's this intimate thing, and it's just, and then we go back and sit down, and that's kind of neat. That's not what the ritual is all about, though. It's about having my feet washed and then getting down on my knees and washing the next person's feet. And then that person gets down on their knees and washes the next person's feet, you see? And it's this train. This is how it works in the Christian life, and this is the symbol. It's really powerful. Peter wants to overdo it. It's a symbol of something much, much more, like we were talking about with the kids. Peter says, "Oh, then not just my feet, Lord, wash all of me." You don't get it, Peter. You don't get it. The feet are enough. It's a symbol. It reminds me a little bit of, I don't know if you feel like this. Sometimes we feel like at the sharing of the peace, we have to shake everybody's hand in the church. Do you ever feel like that? I know I do sometimes. If I shake your hand, then I should probably shake your hand, and then I should probably, and then I want to get everybody. I don't want anybody to feel left out. Do you ever feel like this? I went to a church one time where they actually said, "At our church, you shake everybody's hand. You got to shake everybody's hand." And so it went on and on and on because it was a good-sized church. It just went on and on and on. It's not about shaking everybody's hand. I think after the service, you should shake everybody's hand and greet everybody and make sure everybody feels welcome in this place. But the symbol of sharing the peace is something different. And it's about much more than just shaking someone's hand. That's why shaking one or two people's hands, it's all you have to do. I had a worship professor who, he would rant about this even more than I am right now. He told us, only shake the hands of those people immediately around you. Why? Because it's about much more. This is a symbol. You don't have to shake every... I don't know why I'm giving him an accent, but I... It's like a... Anyway, you don't have to shake every person's hand in the sanctuary. It's a symbol of something much greater. It says this in our bulletin too. Far more than a quick hello, the sharing of the peace is the embodiment of conflicts forgiven. Think about that right now. Wars ended. The creation is restored. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Even death is destroyed in the shaking of the hands. In the sharing of the peace. Our bulletin says, Jesus' resurrection offers true peace. And Jesus' symbol of washing the disciples' feet was likewise about much more, even than just being humble and washing and serving our neighbors. Like the sharing of the peace, Jesus washing the disciples' feet is the embodiment of conflicts forgiven. Wars ended, creation restored, even death destroyed. Jesus washing our feet and commanding us to go and do likewise offers true peace, true community. It gives us a true vocation. These are Jesus' last words. I mean, this is what he does. The last night he's with his disciples before he goes up on the cross, he washes their feet. It's about vocation. Jesus gives us a vocation. Thinking about church vision statements and mission statements, what if it was just simply washing feet like Jesus? This is what we're called to do. Washing feet like Jesus. It's his final gesture with all the disciples there, including Judas. We can only assume that he washed the feet of Judas also, the one who is to betray him. Look back at the text. I looked a couple times this last week just to make sure. There's no evidence that Judas has left the room at this point. They're going to have a dialogue in a little bit. So we can only assume that he washed the feet of the one who was going to betray him. A devil, he calls him back in chapter 6. He washes a devil's feet. This is love outpoured. The symbol is there. He doesn't need to wash all of Judas. The feet are enough. Friends, even though Jesus washes our feet, we still run out and betray Jesus too, don't we, if we're honest? What are ways that you've betrayed your Christ? This is the season of Lent. I think it's powerful to look at this text at this time. Right at the beginning of our 40-day journey, what are ways that you have betrayed your Christ? This is the journey into the wilderness now. It's our lovely altar pyramid. What are ways we've chosen not to love our neighbors, not to love our enemies, not to humble ourselves, but the opposite, not to trust in God, not to take care of our own bodies? What are ways that we've chosen not to serve and protect God's whole creation? What are ways that we too have walked out on our Jesus and on our whole community, like Judas is about to do? What has the devil put into our hearts? Awkward. That's Lent. This is the season for that careful and long 40 days of self contemplation, examination. Awkward. And yet, here is the most awkward part of all. God loves us anyway. I shared this quote a few weeks ago, inviting you to keep it close by during your Lenten journey. It's from the 20th century German Lutheran theologian Paul Tillich. I don't know why I say German Lutheran theologian. Who cares where he's from? It's from Paul Tillich. He was far from perfect. Because I really liked him, and then I learned some things about him. He was far from perfect, and yet he remains one of my absolute favorite thinkers. He says this: grace strikes us when we are in great pain and restlessness. It strikes us when we walk through the dark valley of a meaningless and empty life. It strikes us when we feel that our separation is deeper than usual, because we have violated another life, a life which we loved or from which we were estranged. It strikes us when our disgust for our own being, our indifference, our weakness, our hostility, our lack of direction and composure have become intolerable to us. It strikes us when year after year, the longed-for perfection of life does not appear. When the old compulsions reign within us as they have for decades. When despair destroys all joys and courage. Sometimes, at that moment, a wave of light breaks into our darkness. And it is as though a voice were saying, "You are accepted. You are accepted, accepted by that which is greater than you, and the name of which you do not know. Do not ask for the name now, Perhaps you will find it later. Do not try to do anything now. Perhaps later you will do much. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you are accepted. Simply accept the fact that you are accepted. Friends in Christ Jesus, washing our feet is awkward because love and acceptance and forgiveness and peace is pouring out. All we can do, sisters and brothers in Christ, all we can do is sit back and receive it. Even here, even now, even you. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!